Blake Chapel went missing on October 16, 2011. He had been to prom with his girlfriend, and in the early hours of the next morning, he snuck into his girlfriend's bedroom through her window. After getting busted by her grandma, he went back out the window and disappeared. His body was found in a nearby creek on December 19, 2011. His case remains unsolved. Hey, everybody. Welcome to True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey.
Hello.
Dare I ask, how's it going?
It's hot. Yeah. I'm going to whine. I'm fine. It's going fine. Yeah. I'm looking at these little ringlets on my neck like, oh, yeah, it's hot. Yeah. It's effing hot is how it is. It's fine, actually. It is. Yeah.
Glad
we're in this weird cloud cover, smoke cover, because there are fires burning all around us. And, you know, like we're not at risk or anything, like it's not that close, but, you know, or throughout the West and in this area in some places too, but you can't see the sun. You cannot see the sky, really.
Red, like everything has this reddish tinge. We get this every year during fire season. It's weird.
Well, they're starting to cut grain too. And when they cut grain, that puts a lot of dust in the air, and that contributes to the ominous skies we have right now. So everything's just a little, reddish or even greenish outside. It's just ominous looking. Yeah,
it is. It's weird. It's weird. We get this inversion that will like suck all the smoke from the fires all around the West right on top of us for a while. Sucks for us people with asthma. I've been staying out of it as much as possible because this will be like the worst time of year for me. But, you know, other than that, I'm great because you know what this week is?
Shark Week.
It's Shark Week. I love Shark Week. I'm terrified of sharks and fascinated by sharks. I have this weird shark thing, but I love Shark Week.
Shark thing.
I do. I have this weird love-hate relationship with sharks. Considering that I live in Idaho, that is particularly weird, but it is what it is. But it's Shark Week, and I've been watching some really fun stuff and learning some new things, and I just love it. So.
Well, cool.
Shark Week is an awesome week.
Yeah. I have not because I don't care about Shark Week, but I'm glad that you do and that you're having fun.
We're having a blast. And actually, we have Discovery Plus. And with Discovery Plus, you can access, what is this year, the 21st Shark Week, I think. I think it started in 2000. So you can actually access all of the Shark Week shows from the beginning.
Wow.
Through now, you know what I ought to do is some kind of unsolved shark crime.
Ooh. I smell a pop-up coming. Yes.
Watch for that this weekend. I can't guarantee, but I will do some research, you guys. I would love to be able to fit Shark Week into my pop-up this week.
I will die laughing if you do that. You're going to do that. I can tell.
I'm probably going to do it. Yeah, I'm probably going to figure something out.
Some weird-ass case where they like found a shark and they cut it open for whatever reason, and it had like a half a foot inside of it, and they never found the body, or maybe they did find the body and they don't know because it looks like it was actually dead before the shark ate the body, and you know.
Or they don't know who it is, or there's something.
Familial DNA, solve the case.
Unsolved shark crime, or something. Watch for that at the end of the week, you guys, because I love Shark Week. Because
this shark dork is going to bring it to you.
Yes. I'm a massive shark dork. It is so true. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
that intro broke my heart. That boy's eyes and his face, brought me to tears. Yeah, he is beautiful.
Yeah, if you're not watching this on video, come over to our YouTube channel and watch the intro that played for the show, because it shows some pictures
of Blake. This is mm-hmm. the story of Blake Chapel. And this is a cold read for Katie. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to take a, I'm going to give you, lay the story out for you, which won't take long. There are quite a few things known leading up. And so I'm going to tell you about that. There's some weird stuff that no one's been able to fully answer. So here's the story. This all started on October 15th of 2011. And this was a Saturday. And this was homecoming at East Coweta High. And this is in Georgia. So that afternoon, Blake and his mom went to pick out a tie for the dance because Blake had a date with his girlfriend, Rion. And apparently, Blake went into Kohl's and he was texting ties, pictures of ties to his girlfriend so that she could tell him which one to buy to see which one would match her dress, which I just think is so funny because I know some teenage boys and they would totally do that. Yes. The other funny thing is he didn't know how to tie a tie.
They totally should do that because who the hell knows what they'll show up with?
Yes. I know. Some random will not match. Mm-hmm. It was super funny also because he actually had a clerk in the store help him tie the tie because he didn't know how, because this was not something he normally did.
Sure. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. So then Melissa, Blake's mom, mm-hmm. took him over to Rion's house. And about 5:30 p.m., Shannon, who is Rion's mom, took them to a restaurant called Tokyo's for dinner.
Wait, how old was Blake?
Blake was 16.
Okay.
I think 16.
Okay.
So they went to eat sushi because Rion, the girlfriend, loves sushi. So they went for sushi. Then, the whole thing is so cute because the moms are doing the driving and everyone's,
it's sweet.
There was a lot of stuff happening to make sure that nothing happened to these kids, to be perfectly honest. So
we're with these kids. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Rion's mom picks him up from the restaurant and then takes him to the dance. So Blake is dressed in black pants and he has Ralph Lauren shoes on with white lettering on the sides. And he has on a black shirt, but under it, he has an undershirt on. You know, he's kind of trying to do the real dress up thing. Mm-hmm. And then he's got his fancy tie that he bought that matched her dress. So Rion, the girlfriend, says that they danced a lot. And they had a really fun time. Blake got real sweaty and took off his black shirt and tie. So they did a lot of dancing, hung out with friends. There are photos of them together that showed up on social media pages. They stayed to the at the dance till about 10:30. And then Rion's mom came and got them and took them back to Rion's house where they watched a movie. And then in typical teenager fashion, Blake left his black button-up shirt and tie in Rion's kitchen.
Oh, sure.
Because of course he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are still clothes at my house from my kids' friends who no one can even claim or know who they belong to. This doesn't surprise me at all. Yes.
No, none of this. I'm like, this is such a teenage boy. This is just a teenage boy doing teenage boy stuff, right?
100%.
So then Shannon takes Blake to his friend Austin's house. So there was kind of a plan for Blake to spend the night there after the dance. So once he got there to Austin's house, he called his mom to tell her that he was there at Austin's and he was staying over. And she said that she asked him, how it went. And that he said, it was awesome. I had the best day of my life. We danced all night.
Oh,
yeah. So they decided that he could stay there at Austin's house, but he was not to leave the house.
Yes.
Blake had a little trouble with wandering, had kind of taken off a few times. Took a few days to come back. There had been a few problems with Blake. And so she was like, okay, you can stay there, but you cannot leave that house, right? Mm-hmm. She also said that he called me Mama and said, I love you and we'll call you tomorrow. So then what happened is that he told his friend Austin. He hung out at Austin's house for a while. Then he tells his friend Austin that they walk to a convenience store because they're going to try to buy cigarettes, even though they're underage. Because of course they were 16, 17 year old boys, dumb stuff. Well, they get there, the store's closed. Mm-hmm. So they go back to Austin's house. And then Blake's been texting his girlfriend, Rion. And he says, I'm going to walk over to Rion's house. Well, you know, he obviously misplaced his shirt. Mm-hmm. So this is where things get a little bit confusing. And the timeline gets confusing. So this is very early in the morning. This is like 4:30 a.m. So Austin gives him a jacket and says, here, wear this so you don't get cold when you walk over there. Mm-hmm. And he goes to bed because he's like, dude, I'm tired. I don't, you know, he also gives him a key. Says, here, this is how to get back into the house when you come back. So Blake walks to Rion's house, which is, it's a couple of miles away. And he had texted her and told her he was coming. But she was kind of like, yeah, whatever, and sort of went to bed. Mm-hmm. She was tired. Everyone was like, why are you wandering around in the middle of the night? Mm-hmm. So he shows up and climbs in through her bedroom window and startles the heck out of her. She didn't really think that he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I guess they were laying on her bed talking about the dance, and her grandma comes in and busts him. And so he hurries and gets out of the house as quickly as he can back through the window. Mm-hmm. And then he starts texting Rion. I'm so sorry. Please tell your mom, you know, like, I don't want this to mess up our relationship, whatever mm-hmm. kinds of things. And so there's quite a bit of texting that goes on back and forth between the two of them. So the other weird thing was that he wasn't wearing the jacket when he got there. He wasn't wearing the jacket that Austin had loaned him. He was actually wearing one of his own hoodies. It was a white Aeropostale hoodie. And Austin actually said that he never got that jacket back. No one ever even knows what happened to it.
Wow. Okay.
So Blake, you know, he says some things to Rion that she reported that seem a little strange. And maybe we're just taking them out of context, but he tells her that he loves her and he loves her no matter what, even no matter what happens in the future. I want you to know I love you. And so he goes out that bedroom window and nobody ever hears from him again. He just disappears off the face of the earth. So he had a cell phone. So think about it, this is 2011. So this is like a flip phone, probably. Mm-hmm. It only had a text plan. It doesn't have a calling plan. So he's texting Rion and texting Rion's mom, apologizing. I'm really sorry. I screwed up. I shouldn't have come in. Anyway. So there's a bunch of apology texting and stuff. And then the texting just stops. And literally no one knows where he is. So when nobody can find him the next morning, then some searching starts happening. The friends start searching. Finally, a call is made to his mother, like, hey, by the way, we don't know where he is. And so everybody is searching, and they're searching this whole area. One of his last texts said that he was near a bridge, and they kind of figure out what bridge that probably is. And so they're searching and they're searching and searching. They find nothing, absolutely nothing. The police get involved. They do a bunch more searching. They search this whole area. Apparently there's kind of there's a creek and kind of a bit of a wooded area. Nothing. Literally just, they don't find anything. Over time, there are a few suspects, including Rion's father. We know that Rion's father was gone at the time. He said he was out. He rents. Okay, this is Georgia. We live in such a different place. Okay. He rents property that he can hunt on.
Okay.
So it's almost hunting season. Uh-huh. And he says that he's gone to set up his blind. Now it's early. And so apparently the rule is that if you show up on your property to hunt with a gun early, you can lose your right to, you can lose your permit and you can, you know, lose sure. everything, okay. be in big trouble. So there was some question about why he would be out there so early, because it was a little too early. But he said that's where he was. He was polygraphed and he did pass the polygraph.
Well, I mean, he could surely be out there setting up his blind without his gun. You know,
he could have been.
Just knowing that hunters around here do that, you know, before hunting season starts, they go out and set up their blinds and, you know,
right.
sometimes scope out where they're going to go and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So
kind of mark their territory.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's possible. But there was a question about him because Blake was in some trouble because he was caught. Oh, so he was 17. That's right. He wasn't 16. He was 17. He was caught with a girl from another county who was 16. And in Georgia at the time, 17 was considered of age and 16 was underage.
Oh, okay.
And he was in some trouble for that and was even going to have to go to court potentially. Okay. Ultimately, the prosecutor actually dropped the case and the girl said she ran away voluntarily. And anyway, it wasn't anything except that the stepdad basically said, if I ever see you again, I'm going to tear you limb from limb. Mm-hmm. So they did, I assume, look into the stepdad. So there's very little publicly reported about the actual investigation into Blake's death. It's rumored that there have been three suspects, all of whom have been ruled out. My assumption is that that is Rian's dad, the stepdad of this other girl. Who's the other person? Don't know. I don't know. There were questions about why did he have his hoodie, which was actually in his backpack at Austin's house. Where did the jacket go that he had of Austin's? We don't know. Mm-hmm. He was found floating in a creek in between Rian's house and Austin's house in December, on December 19th. So almost exactly 2 months later, a little bit more than 2 months later. And he was only wearing like an undershirt and boxer shorts. So the rest of his clothes were missing. They never did find any of those clothes. He was badly decomposed, as you can imagine, but they did identify him by jewelry that he was wearing and a tattoo that he had. But once they found his body, they really had nothing else other than those three potential suspects, of which the official word is they've ruled all three of them out. And so they don't actually have any suspects that can be, that are viable at this point. So he has been gone for 10 years and there's been no movement in a long time mm-hmm. in his case. So I would like us to take a little break. And when we come back, Katie, I'd like you to give us a cold read on what happened to Blake Chappell. Who okay. killed him? Whatever you get.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. And this is the Blake Chappell case. And we know that Blake Chappell went missing in October of 2011, and his body was found in December of 2011. And that is about all that we know. So, Katie, what do you think happened to Blake?
Okay. Well, I feel like when he was done at Rion's, you know, obviously he was walking for a while. I feel like he was just walking upset and, you know, knew he screwed up and didn't. He was really worried about Rion being in trouble because he was really trying to take responsibility and make sure she wasn't in trouble for what he did. And, you know, talking to her mom and, you know, and whatnot. I feel like he walked for quite a ways. But I really feel like he ended up either in a car or talking to a car that was along the road. I feel like somebody pulled up while he was walking that he was talking to. But a car. Yes. A person in a car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like somebody pulled up.
In a car, I'm assuming.
I feel like he was talking to somebody that pulled up in a car. I don't think it was somebody that he knew. I don't think that any of the people that they interviewed had anything to do with it. I don't. It doesn't read for me at all that they did. I was curious about who the third suspect was. I feel like that one was a little further stretch away from him and was just somebody in the area that they suspected because they, you know, were causing trouble in the area. I don't feel like it was, mm-hmm. it was nothing, you know, but they were trying to interview people, you know, they were trying to get something going and answer some questions. But at any rate, I don't think it was any of them. I feel like he did end up getting in a car with somebody and that he was, I think at this point he was really, really tired. You know, you consider he's probably been up for close to 24 hours at this point.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like he was not in a good place. He was really upset. He was really worried. And I feel like he got in a car with somebody just, I'm not really sure why he got in the car with them. I don't know if he knows why he got in the car with them, but I feel like this was somebody that he did not know. And at some point he decided to get out of the car and that he struggled with them because they weren't going to let him out of the car. Mm-hmm. I feel like he got pretty belligerent in the car and scuffled with them and that's how he got killed. He was shot. And see, I think that they threw him in the creek and that he ended up hung up on something for a while, maybe, you know, under the water where they didn't find his body for a while. And then it decomposed enough that it broke loose. And then they finally did find him floating. Sure. Why didn't he have his clothes on? I feel like they took his clothes. I can't shake the feeling that this has something to do with drugs, not on his end, but the end of the person he got in the car with, or maybe the people. I'm really wondering if there was someone in the back seat. It just feels to me like he ended up talking to some people who weren't sane and in a good place. And he wasn't sane and in a good place. He was kind of hysterical and not in a good spot. Yeah. And so I feel like these were not people that are actually necessarily from his direct area. I feel like they were more passing through. I do feel like it was two men in their 20s. I don't know why they shot him. I don't know why. I feel like they were hassling with him because he was acting really erratic. He wanted out of the car. They didn't want to let him out of the car. It was almost like a bullying kind of thing at that point. And one of them did have a gun and they scuffled with him and shot him. I feel like somebody's car has blood in it or had blood in it from this. Mm-hmm. But I feel like after they killed him, they panicked. And again, they put him in a waterway where he ended up kind of down under, stuck in some brush and stuff until he ended up coming out. Again, I feel like they took his clothes. I feel like it had something to do with some idea that they had that it was make him harder to identify or something. I don't know. It's hard to base any of this in reason and logic because I don't think that the people that killed him were acting in reason and logic. And I don't think he was either. Yeah. And so it's kind of an oil and gas kind of situation, or a gas and a flame kind of situation between the two of them. So, but yeah, I feel like they took his clothes. His clothes were disposed of in a dumpster in another town because they drove away, you know,
Yeah.
And I feel like wherever, you know, they went, I feel like his clothes were dumped like 100 miles away in a dumpster and nobody ever would have been the wiser.
Sure.
But, which is too bad because had they found them, you know, but again, why'd they leave his jewelry on him and take his clothes? It doesn't make sense, but this is nonsensical. I feel like they were, you know, stoned to the bone and he was all upset and freaked out and nobody was making like solid decisions.
Right.
I feel like they both know damn well they did this. I think that they're both, you know, going to cover for each other. And if these two aren't brothers, they're like best friends that are like brothers. They're really, really close. Mm-hmm. But again, they're not from his town. Okay. I feel like they're from a few towns over. I do feel like they're probably from Georgia. However, okay. I mean, they're not like from out of state. They're just not from that direct area.
Sure.
Will they ever catch him? I think it's possible. I do. This is one of those times that I think it's possible that somebody will squeal to avoid getting in trouble for something else or something along those lines.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that they will, somebody will finally spill their guts and tell somebody what happened to Blake. But that's my read. That's what I feel like happened. And again, I know that's messy. It is messy because you can't make a whole lot of sense out of nonsensical behavior. And that's what was happening here.
Yeah. I agree that it just feels like there's so much chaos around this. The family
when they stopped and talked to him, he was like, he was talking to them, you know, he's like, oh man, I'm in so much trouble, I really screwed up. And they're like, oh, get in the car and talk to it, let's talk. You know how when people are drunk they're like, you're my best friend, you know, it was kind of that energy that they're like, get in the car with us, let's talk, let's, you know, you're our friend now kind of shit.
And he was so tired and upset.
And these guys were being nice to him and he was looking for a solution. So we got in the car with them, you know?
Yeah.
But then they got mean. And when he wanted to get out, they didn't want to let him out. And it's kind of that energy of like bullying your little brother. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, you get not me, but you know, you get your little brother in the car and, you know, lock the doors and drive too fast and scare him or something like that. That's how it feels. Like they were kind of bullying him and turned on him and he got really upset. And anyway, they ended up shooting him. It's awful.
It is awful. His family has been pretty convinced that it was someone local, someone that knew him that did this. The police have been not so sure. And there's really been a lot of question. They interviewed 50 different people for this case. And this is a small area, you know, and they didn't get any closer to an answer. And I feel like what you're saying makes a lot of sense because they wouldn't. Like, they're not going to interview these people because they're not even there. This happened. They dumped him and they left. And there was never any actual connection between the two of them or between the three of them. And I feel like that makes a huge amount of sense. I hope that they do, that someone does finally give the other one up or something, because this is, you know, his poor mom.
Oh, my
heart's been through hell.
Yeah.
Just all of his family and his friend's family and his girlfriend's family, everybody, you know, this has had a huge impact on their community. And then, you know, to think that a kid could go walking early in the morning like that somewhere and disappear and be murdered, you know, it's, you know, one of those things where people are like, oh, that doesn't happen in our community, you know, and it really did.
Yeah.
So.
It's so sad. And it's so sad just looking at him going, yeah, he was 16. He made some bad decisions. That's what 16-year-olds do. You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just
dumb
and, you know, interesting on his mom's part that she was like, okay, you can stay there, but don't you go anywhere. Don't you leave that house. Mm-hmm. Moms know, you know,
he had some impulse issues though. You know, he had some issues.
He did. And they'd had some problems and, you know, he disappeared before for like a night or something. And so his brother had said that, you know, initially, yes, we were worried, but we weren't like, oh my God, he's never coming home worried, because right. he's done this before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, he didn't come back this time. That's just yeah. so sad.
Yeah. Oh, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And mm-hmm. just to think about how many lives were so affected by this.
Oh yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Reed. I really yeah. appreciate that. And we send all of our love to Blake's family and friends and community, and, you know, fingers crossed that this gets solved so that there is some closure for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you guys, this is our Tuesday case. We will be back tomorrow on Wednesday with another new case. And then we'll be back Wednesday night for our live case updates. That's a live stream at 7 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube. And then we'll be back again on Thursday for another live stream on Facebook and YouTube that is the Psychic Hour.
Yeah.
And then watch for some kind of shark-related true crime pop-up from me over the weekend, because now you've got my wheels turning. I'm making it happen.
I'm not surprised. I can't wait for this, actually.
I think it's going to be pretty great. So, mm-hmm. well, you guys, you know it. We are True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. Thanks for being here.
Take care.